Well, I was just, Jerry, honestly, it's getting harder and harder anyway the last few years. Like, I was in college as a mature student and I came back in 2020 and I found myself homeless that time, and I was staying with a friend. And there, like, his house, he was in a Clwyd house, and there was complaints made to the council about that. And he asked them how long could he have a friend staying, and they said only 3 weeks, you know. So, like, there's that kind of a situation as well. But after that, then I ended up renting a room in an owner-occupied place, which was kind of an awkward situation. There was a lot of different people there, and it was a bit difficult kind of in the kitchen just with the owners and stuff, you know. And, yeah, I suppose owner-occupied, renting a room as well. I did that in college as well. But when you're 41 years of age, you're just like, seriously, like, do I have to do this?
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. And, you know, paying half your money for that as well. Like, you still be paying substantial amounts even just for a room. Anyway, after that, then I found a place that I knew was for sale. And it had been for sale for quite a while. A friend of mine got a Clwyd house, so she was moving out, which is why I was able to get that place. Now, it wasn't an ideal place either. It was full of dry rot. And
so it was, you know, it was for rent rather than for sale, yeah? For rent?
Well, they rented it to me, but it was for sale when
I moved
in.
Okay.
Yeah. So it had been for sale for I think, a year at least anyway, while my friend was living in it. And it hadn't sold. While I was there, it sold once and the sale fell through. And I had left and then come back to it again. But it really was literally the only place that was for rent in Dingle at the time, you know.
And you were lucky to get it.
Yeah, you know?
Lisa, you've been working in Dingle for over 20 years and renting all along, and you've never really had the problems that you had in the last while.
Never had a problem. Like, was in one house for 6 years, you know, was in another for another good few years. Like, I suppose when I arrived there first, I was living in a mobile back west just because, you know, it was by the beach and it was all very romantic and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But council will not give you anything for a mobile either, even if you could find a mobile to rent. But even those are impossible to find now back in Dingle. So in terms of trying to find, like, I find myself now as a single mother, in terms of trying to find HAP, I don't know if you read the Simon Community Report there recently, like, you said there was a 92% decrease across Ireland of available properties for in HAP limits.
Yeah.
And a lot of the landlords don't want to rent to HAP then as well. Yeah, so that's another difficulty. And, you know, I suppose things are getting worse. Like, and I'd say there, when I was registering as homeless, when we were being evicted from that property, there was a lot of pressure, really, to go into dispute with the landlord. And, I mean, I had no reason to do that. And in small towns, that's not ideal. And I was asking them, what was the end of that, you know? What's the end? Like, and they were like, oh, you'd get an extra 4 months. But, like, they're not going to find you a house in that extra 4 months. And the thing about it is, like, now everybody just wants to sell their property because they don't want to rent it anymore because it's hassle and it's not worth their while money-wise.
Yeah. So you said, I'm not going down that road. I could extend it by 4 months, but I'm just going to try and find a place or have to rely on the council. And is that, you know, in the last 7 weeks, you've had a baby boy. What's that been like in the middle of all of that?
Oh, it's been incredibly stressful. But even beforehand, Jerry, just trying to prevent yourself from being homeless, it seemed impossible. Everyone I called was just, come back to me when you're homeless, come back to me when you're homeless, come back to me when you're homeless, you know? So really trying to prevent it from happening.
Yeah, you have to wait until you're homeless before you can access some supports
those lines. And even then, you know, they can't tell you where you're going because there's such an influx on the system now and the system's overwhelmed. They can't tell you until the day or the day before where you're going to be or what situation you're going to be in, you know.
And Lisa, what about the father of the child? Your partner, is he in the scene or can he help or what's the situation?
Not in the picture, Jerry, no.
So he's gone?
Not in the picture.
No help whatsoever. Okay.
Yeah.
So where are you now?
We're in the homeless accommodation in... Yeah, just...
Sorry, I just lost you there for a second. Where are you now?
In the homeless accommodation in Killarney.
Okay, and that's on the Muckross Road?
Yeah.
Okay, and... How long have you been there for and how long can you stay there and what is it like, I suppose, for your needs?
Well, I mean, for me now, it's quite difficult because just with the small baby, like, and he was very early and very small, and he's just had an operation in Crumlin Hospital last week. We arrived here on Friday, so I suppose just trying to settle into the idea. You know, it would be shared cooking facilities and very busy in the kitchen, you know. So you're kind of waiting until he's settled to go and do your cooking, but you can't always, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One washing machine shared then between the lot of us as well. So that's quite difficult. There's no storage facilities in the room. It's kind of like I just have everything out on the spare bed that's in here. Now, I do have my own room and an ensuite bathroom, which you just couldn't manage without that with the baby.
Certainly,
you know?
Not. No. No.
So that's kind of the minimum you can ask for. But really what's really getting to me now and what's making my mental health suffer a lot is that you can't have visitors, which is understandable, right? Because if somebody was running away from an abusive partner or something, there's a confidentiality thing.
Yes.
But like also I can't leave here for a night and go back to my community in Dingle just to hang out with my friends. I haven't even seen
just
any
to get
of my friends
some support and some help along
born.
Those lines. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, like, just in Dingle, I have a million people at the end of a phone. I can go, can you do the shopping for me? Can you hold the baby while I have a shower? Do you know, just those kind of small
practical steps,
things that are difficult to get done when you're on your own with a small baby. Do you know? So I have to go back into Tralee Hospital now tomorrow with him for a scan. And they did say that they might keep us overnight for observation just because he's still been having pain with his guts. Since the operation, it was an bilateral inguinal hernia operation that he had. So he's still having some pain when he's trying to poo and stuff like that, you know, and it's waking him up and he's not sleeping well.
Yeah.
So we're going in tomorrow and we might be admitted overnight. And when I spoke to the council, so like they said, I can go back to Dingle for one night due to, you know, exceptional circumstances. But that's the only time I can do that. Like I can't do that again next week or the week after, you know. So, and then I told her about the hospital, you know, that I might be admitted and I would have to get a letter then to prove that I'd been admitted into hospital, that I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Lisa, you're in a situation of obviously an exceptionally difficult housing crisis. We have the Ukrainian situation, the third level student shortage accommodation there. There's pressure coming from every angle in terms of trying to find places and along and growing list of people waiting on the government and social housing and all of that. What are your hopes in the context of all of that to get a house?
I mean,
obviously?
I don't know. It's actually hard to have any hope at the moment because, you know, they're just telling you that there's nothing. But having said that, you know, there are council houses that I know of, like, that haven't been turned over, you know, that have been empty over a year. So there's no excuse for that either. So they really need to get onto that. And, like, I'm not saying that I'm more deserving of them than the other 200 people on the list. But I am saying that it's an absolute disgrace that any house should be empty at this stage because it is an unbelievable crisis, you know.
Given the demands and that are there for
accommodation. Yeah, like there was four people made homeless from the same property as me, you know. And one of the guys was on the housing list for like 17 years and he ended up taking a place in Carsevine, 6 hours away from his community because he had a dog there and he was like, I can't actually go into homeless services, you know, I can't wait. So he's out in Carsevine now without his community and I'm just not able to do that in my position at the moment. It takes a village to raise a child, Jerry, you know, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
And really that's so evident to me right now. I just feel really, really isolated, you know.
Yeah,
that's hard. Now, I went through this in college in Galway. I slept in my car for about a month, you know, and that's fine when you're on your own. But now, like, you're just looking at the long term and you're like, is there actually any hope? You know?
You're facing the prospect of being in Killarney, I suppose, for quite some time, raising your baby in the early weeks of its life.
Staff members here said you could be there nearly a year. And I was just like, I just can't cope with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. Sorry, now I'm getting emotional.
No. I know. Look, it's completely understandable. Lisa, look, if let's say, like your friend, if a house came up in Tralee, if it came up in Tarbert, if it came up in Carsevine, far away from Dingle, would you take it?
I don't know about Carsevine, but I suppose if they offered me Tralee now, yes, for
you
sure.
You take
it,
whatever you get within reason. Yeah.
just for the you know,
the security of it.
Like at least if I'm in Tralee, people can visit me and I can visit them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the situation that I'm in now, I just have nobody. Like, you know.
Yeah. What about family, Lisa? Is there family support? Well,
I just have a mother and father up in Dublin, and as I said, I haven't lived there for 20 years, you know. So half my life is in Kerry, and it's the good half, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Lisa, look, can I ask you this question? What do you say to people who say, look, you should have thought of this before you got pregnant, you know, should have done more to save up money 20 years ago to try and buy a house, you know, it's your own fault you're in this situation? What's your response to that argument?
Well, I'd say it's anyone could end up homeless now, Jerry, do you know what I mean? Anyone. And I know people that their houses are in vulture funds. I know people that are actually starving in order to pay their mortgage at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not even...
Owning a house is no protection.
People at the moment have two jobs and they're just about paying their mortgage and their child support and their childcare, you know. There is no saving money in that situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, 20 years ago, like in the tourist industry there, I could have made enough money like to put away and save and stuff like that. But like in the last, I suppose, 10 or maybe more years, like, it's not like that. It's you barely survive, no matter how much you work.
The prices like are accelerating. The housing
there,
is accelerating.
I was working two jobs. And like at one stage, I was going to one job at 9 in the morning and going to another at 6 when I finished that, like with no break in between. And, you know, that puts you on a higher tax bracket then as well. So you end up like, you know, I've got friends who are doing the second job and they're getting like half.
For
you
a
know,
second
850
job.
An hour basically for the second job because it puts them in the higher tax bracket, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so like the life at the moment is not sustainable the way it's going on in Ireland, you know.
Yeah,
for anybody.
It's very hard to buy a new house or buy a house, and it's getting
well,
much harder
get a
to
mortgage
rent
anymore.
Yeah, it's getting much harder to rent a house. Then on top of that, it's getting even harder by the day to rent a place. So
nobody
there's
wants
no options
to rent because they say it's too hard to get people out and stuff. So, you know, there's just all sorts of issues like going around and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. But like also, you know, the biggest property owner in Ireland at the moment is a Canadian Vulture Fund. So that's just wrong. You know, there's a lot of houses sitting empty because they're just somebody's, you know.
Tax write-off.
They're just waiting to turn profit or tax write-off or whatever. There's one house that I lived in years ago in Dingle. That was bought and I wasn't living in it at the time, but my friend was evicted out of it. And it's sitting there empty ever since. And it's just fallen down. I mean, it's already 100 years old. Like at least when there was somebody in there, she was keeping it warm and dry and all that kind of stuff. And now it's just sitting there rotting. And the same person who owns that owns another place in Dingle and that place is sitting there rotting. You know, so like something has to be done about that. Like in the end, you know, housing is actually just... It's all about profit now and greed and nothing else.
It shouldn't be seen as a commodity. It should be seen as a home.
Well, it's a human right, really. Do you know what I mean? To have a safe roof over your head, no matter what situation you're in.
Yeah. Well, look, Lisa, thanks for telling me your story. All I can say is I hope that things improve and that something opens up. And good luck with the scan in hospital tomorrow. What's your baby's name?
Thanks very much. Rowan.
Rowan.
After the tree.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, listen, look, Lisa,
they're
thanks.
They're small, but they're tough.
They are indeed. And look, thanks for talking to us in the programme.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jerry.